such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Put this up a little bit. There we go. How are you, Christina?
Welcome, Father. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing reasonably well.
That's great.
I think.
It's almost Friday, Father.
What do we say? ATGIF?
Almost.
Almost, no.
Thank God it's almost Thursday.
TGIAF. Okay.
I mean, it's almost Friday. What do I say?
Anyway, and Tony is
they're in California.
Out and about, and
it was their wedding anniversary this week.
Oh, is that right? Well,
yes,
how many
on
years?
The 31st. I forgot.
Yeah, I had their wedding.
I mean, I wouldn't know, but...
It's
20-something years, yeah. Or 30, I don't remember. Something
anyway,
there.
You know what, let's begin with prayer.
Yes.
So we don't get off into you know how I go off on tangents. And okay, so we'll pray. We get the thing situated here. I was running right into the studio. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, to the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America and, in fact, the entire world to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting now in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So the World Youth Day has started. Did you, were you with me in the Holy Land when we had, when we went for the, in the year 2000 for the World Youth Day, or was that your parents?
My parents were
your parents, yeah.
They went with you.
So, you know, I don't want to start out, well, criticizing, you know, and I feel like I'm always kind of on the defense. But I just, I've been to, and it's just started. I think it started yesterday or the day before. But I saw the concert they had. The gist of it, you know, it was very hard rock, you know, and just loud. I heard somebody say the other day that what probably best characterizes the age in which we live is the tyranny of noise, you know. And I saw that, and it was a kind of a jolting experience. And I have to be quite honest, you know, I've never been to a rock concert, even when I was young. Were you ever at a rock concert?
A rock concert? I've been to pop and rock, but not heavy rock or heavy metal. Heavy metal I cannot take. It's too harsh. Rock, yes, I've been. Probably the back in the 80s, that kind of music is what I grew up with.
But like,
but not hard, hard.
An example, like who would you?
Oh, probably like a alternative rock, but more.
But can you name an artist?
An artist, rock back in the 80s. I know you put me on the spot.
Would it be like a George Michael, or would it be a band?
Probably
like
not
a Korn?
I would say like a band. Now there's so many rock bands.
Anyway.
There's Kiss. There's.
Well, that would be hard. That's hard rock.
That's probably hard. Yeah, that would be probably hard rock.
I would think. I don't know. In any case, you know, I saw that, and I was when I saw this concert. And it's only the, you know, there's many. I mean, we pray for the young people and for all those who are going to be speaking, for the Holy Father and the like. I don't know. Maybe maybe because I was, I'm one of eight, and I was the second oldest, and I have a sister a year older than I was, and my father, it's always stuck with me, you know, you mess up, everybody's going to mess up, you know, I'm kind of a law and order kind of a person, you know, just by way of example, you know, in the summertime when we lived on the beach, you know, on the coast of Florida, so we were in close proximity to the beach. I could walk to the bay from our house, but then you had to, we were in Panama City, but Panama City Beach was actually, they had I think MTV summer parties
concerts
there.
Concerts and the,
right.
Mm-hmm.
For a number of years. I don't know if they still do that, but I remember being in the gym years ago, and they had it on the television in the gym. I thought it was Panama City Beach. It's the spring break. It would be the spring break.
Oh, the spring break, the famous spring break.
Yeah. So, but anyway, my parents never allowed me to participate in any of that stuff, and I don't know that I really had any inclination to do so. But I do know that during the summer, you know, my friends would go out to the beach, and I would like to have done that as well. But my father wouldn't allow it, so he said, "No, you're going to work. You know, you get a lawnmower and you go and mow these Florida lawns, which are
they're large
lawns."
Yeah.
And so that's what I usually. So my summers were never spent on the beach.
Maybe it's a good thing, Father.
No, it is. I have no complaints. I thank God.
Yes.
To be honest, I thank God. But even as I reflect on World Youth Days that I went to, and I went to two. I went to the one in the Holy Land, and it went from the Holy Land to Rome, so it was the year 2000, and then I was in another one. Don't remember. Was there two in Rome? Anyway, I was at two different World Youth Days, and they had, I think, well over a million people.
Wow.
I don't know how many are at this one. I heard the numbers are like more like 500,000 or something. I'm not sure, maybe less. But it was a very spiritual experience. I mean, it was very, very spiritual. Even the music, I remember, especially in the Holy Land. But it carried over into Rome as well. But they had the Neocatechumenate, I think it was called. It was a lot of young people that were part of that, and they would do these chants and this kind of dance, but it was a very religious, very beautiful religious thing. You know, I'm not going to do it now, but your father and I would, because he was with us, and even when we came back, I would, a couple of times in the homily, especially at Easter time, sing the, when Jesus is going, tell my brothers to meet me in Galilee. I'm going to Galilee after the resurrection. After his crucifixion, death, and in the resurrection, it's a beautiful chant, and they would do that, and they would dance in circles and all that. And I remember one night, this was in Rome, we were out all night camping on the in the outskirts of Rome, and there were well over a million young people there, and it was so massive. That I set out at night to look for the altar where the Pope was going to have the Mass the following day. Mass was, I think, around 10 o'clock in the morning, but everybody gathered the day before, and we all camped out in the night. Figure this, over a million young people. And so I set out with somebody to look for the altar. We didn't get back until the wee hours of the morning, you know, because it was so far. And what we had is, where our group was, we could only watch on these big screens because it was just too far. We set out looking for it. And what we found, though, what drew our attention was these lights that were projected into the sky. There were only four of them. And we sought that out, and it was a Eucharistic Adoration Chapel, open chapel, Eucharistic Adoration. And it was so moving, the young people, I mean, total silence in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. And that's what I, that's kind of the tenor or the tone or the ambiance that characterized those World Youth Days. I don't remember, you know, something like a big rock band or just, you know, this kind of
noise.
Noise. It almost feels like, and I've seen this over the years, over these past several years, because there was that youth conference or congress in Rome, I think, a few years ago, and it just seemed that it was bent on entertainment, mm-hmm. and a lot of the entertainment, you know, even if you try to Christianize rock music, it just doesn't. What's absent, and again, I'm not saying that this is going to be the case through the whole week. I'm certain they're going to. They've got to have.
They have to have moments of silence.
And the like, but it just, and I get it, young people, you know, have
it
to be.
It seems like it's getting louder and louder, the noise.
Yeah, it's almost as if we're, you know, it's you know, it's almost an insult to their intelligence, I think, you know, when you think of the faith and to diminish this sense of the sacred.
Sure.
And to bring in the noise of the world to stimulate or to... And the other thing is, you know, you see, I was watching this and I saw there were some nuns and priests and all that, and they were, you
dancing.
Know, dancing as well. And it just looked odd. It looked odd. It looked like we were. It seemed like it was an insult to the young people. That's my opinion.
Sure.
I'm sorry, you know, but that's
they're trying to fit in, or they're trying to. I'm just saying. I'm not justifying. I don't know. Were they young? Priest and nuns, or were they older, or middle-aged?
No, there's some older ones too. I mean, you know, I remember the cardinals, you know, and in at one of the things going on in Rome.
Sure.
I don't know, it was a youth congress or something, and the cardinals were dancing and all that too. And I just thought
it just looked,
you know, like if I were a young person, I think it would have I would have taken that as somewhat insulting. I don't know.
I could see.
Condescending.
I remember growing up when we would have, because I went to Catholic school, and in high school we would have these week retreats that we were required to take or to attend. And they would have the music, not rock or anything. It was type of all types of music with the guitar. They had like a young youth band there, and the nuns, and I think the one priest that had the mass, they would just stand back and sort of clap. They weren't dancing, but they would just clap, and that's it. That was pretty much it.
They didn't try to morph back into being a teenager or a young person, you know?
No.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm old-fashioned or just the way I was raised. I just, like I said, I never, even as a young person, I never got into that. Never went to bars. Never.
But even the music back then, when you were growing up, it was different. It wasn't.
Well, sure. Yeah,
it was different.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, of course. I think when I think back to the 1970s, aside from Kiss or can't even name some of the groups, you know, that emerged in the 1960s. I mean, I liked folk music. I liked Bob Dylan. I liked. What's her name? Joan Baez. And, Peter Paul and Mary. And that's really
the Carpenters.
That was in the
seventh.
I mean, did she have a beautiful voice?
She had a beautiful voice.
But the Carpenters. I liked Foreign.
Foreign. Yes.
I like to listen to them even now.
There's Journey. I mean, there's so many.
Germany. ABBA.
ABBA. It's ABBA. There's just so many.
Barbara
groups.
Streisand.
Yes.
There's a plethora of art, but it's really beautiful music when you think back
to
the 70s. And I have to say, in the 80s, I kind of miss that because I was in
the seminary
and I was in, had just been ordained a priest in 84, so I wasn't so much tuned in. A little bit tuned into Madonna.
Yes.
In the sense that she was so big, and I remember giving a retreat at a Catholic high school for girls. And
it was in Madonna High School.
I'm not going to say. But I criticized in the retreat. I challenged the young women, you know, not to emulate because she had Madonna had just appeared in Playboy wearing rosaries around her neck, and her song "Like a Virgin" and And she used a lot of Catholic imagery. She was a she was a Catholic. I don't know if she still is, but
so her mom was a devout Catholic.
Devout Catholic.
She was obviously rebelling. She had a harsh childhood. I think her father was. There were issues there with her father.
And the mother died young.
The mother died young, and her father was. There were issues there with the father. So that's something.
Which you often find that, you know, and that was one thing with Madonna and another
Lady
one.
Gaga.
Well, I don't know, but Lady Gaga was raised in a very Catholic. She is unapologetically Catholic, the last I understood. Even to the point that their family has a very close friend, a priest who's a very close friend of the family. And I actually watched a prayer that she prayed before she went on to concert, but there's a certain disconnect, right, in some of the stuff that she does, because she's done some really beautiful things.
She is very talented. I'm not saying that Madonna's not talented, it's just that we have to pray for her. But and Lady Gaga knows her classical music. She plays the piano.
Right.
Beautiful. She has a incredible voice, and when she came out singing The Sound of Music.
Right, that's what I was thinking about.
That was beautiful.
It was absolutely beautiful, yeah. But going back to Madonna, so there, and this is the case with, what's her name, who just died?
Sinead O'Connor.
Sinead O'Connor.
Yes.
Who had obviously had,
she had
major
a lot of,
issues.
Yeah.
She went from, you know, renouncing her Catholicism to, you know, the famous ripping up the image of Pope John Paul II on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
She eventually became a priest in a... a heretical community. It was the Tridentine something. I forget the name. Had anything to do with the Catholic Church. But she was even appeared because I saw this after she just died. But she was wearing the Roman collar and all that. And then she eventually became a Muslim.
Muslim.
And I don't know what she was by the time she died. But she had a tragic life and. Her son had committed suicide. They still haven't said what.
Have an idea what.
How she died.
How she died, yeah.
But Madonna, the interesting thing about Madonna is I think, you know, it seems to me that there was, the pain of her dealing with her mother's death. I'm not going to play psychologist here, but her mother died. I don't know the situation with the father, but I know that the mother was a very devout a Catholic who prayed the rosary every day and, from what I understand, went to Mass, probably daily Mass. The children were raised in that kind of Catholic environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it could have been, you know, her dealing with her mother's death. It might have been the stuff with her father. But certainly through her career, she was talking about duplicity of life.
Mm-hmm.
Or was she just mocking religious Catholic symbolism, because she used a lot of Catholic imagery in many of her songs
concerts and musical videos.
At the same time, the eroticism and the pornographic nature of some of her stuff. So it's really interesting. But I think wearing rosaries around her neck and appearing in Playboy. You know that she's dealing with something there, you know.
And then, interestingly, when she became pregnant, she sort of cleaned up her image for a while.
For a while there, yeah.
For a while, she looked beautiful. She had a glow. You know how women, when they're pregnant, they have this beauty, a glow about them, the motherhood. And then she went back to, you know.
And interestingly, she named her first daughter Lourdes after Our Lady of Lourdes.
Yes.
You know, and she was very open about that. And so she would safeguard her children from the very stuff that she was doing.
Her children were not allowed to watch TV or any. Yeah. She was, like you said, protecting her children.
It's really
interesting.
Really interesting, isn't it? You know, very interesting. But going back to the point of the World Youth Day, and again, I don't want to overly judge, but I'm just making judgment on this concert, and I wouldn't allow that. I think, you know, the young people need something that's radically different from what they're already immersed in, right? is so that we're not placating them, or we're not insulting them by glorifying the things of the world, or the ways of the world, or this kind of music. I always find it interesting, you know, when I look at some of these concerts, you know, you can download on YouTube or whatever, you know, even concerts from the past, and
sure.
Just the thousands upon thousands of people, and how they really get into the music. I think Tony would be one who was very much into that kind of stuff, I think. I don't know about Nick. Nick, have you gone to many concerts at all? Or no?
No, he's
not into that either.
It's like when you watch these people, even like I'm remembering Michael Jackson. That's what I grew up with, the pop rock. He was the king of pop
rock. Yeah, right.
So they back in the 80s and until this day, what they do, they mix different genres of music. So they mixed pop and rock together, or rap, right? That's another type of music that's in right now too, is rap. And so with Michael Jackson, I never went to a Michael Jackson concert. The tickets are expensive too, even with Madonna. But I would watch on TV the concerts, and how these young people would just like faint, or they would go into a trance.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, what's crazy. That all about? You know, that's very interesting. I have Kings of Leon. Kings of Leon and Luke and Brian.
Oh, I don't know.
Who are they?
I have no idea. Those are the new groups. And so my nephews, they like, actually my nephews, they love rock. And there are these new rock bands, and they go to concerts. And, here comes Nick. There are a lot of new rock bands that I don't know of.
Take Tony's spot for a quick second here.
Yeah,
that's the Kings of Leon I saw, Luke Bryan, who's a country singer, too. So I've been to a few concerts here and
see,
there,
I
but
like
not
country
too many.
Music.
I'm not into country music. I just don't like country music for some reason,
like,
you know.
It's mellow. It's easy. I mean, I like it.
It's kind of like the Hallmark Channel.
My mom and dad love the Hallmark Channel, too. I'm easy. I listen to all kinds of different music, so I'm a mixed bag, as they said in school.
I just think that the country music, if you've heard one, you've heard them all, it seems to me, you know. But I have to say, I like Patsy Cline, and this is before my era, but
sure.
I remember my father listened to her, and
my mom and dad saw Huey Lewis in performance once.
Oh, really? Nice.
So this guy that created some controversy, do you know who he is? Nick,
there are so many people out there in the celebrity world that have created so much controversy.
Well, this was just recently, just about a week ago. He was a country singer, Aldane?
The name sounds familiar, but I'm not so sure. There are so many, it's hard to keep track.
What he did, I saw the first of all, the song came out in April or May, I think, but then they finally, the video, what do they call that, the video...
went viral?
Well, they had the video. Then, what do they call that? When the song is put to the story, or they have a backdrop story to the song.
Music video.
Music video.
Music video.
So when it came out, it was so controversial, because what he did is the song was, you know, that this will not happen in a small town. We won't allow this to happen in a small town. I don't know the name of the song. And so in the music video, they had clippings of the riots that took place, the unrest during the pandemic and all that, and the burning of cities and the ransacking of stores and all that kind of stuff. And so they pulled that. That was canceled out.
Mm.
And people put up
they were protesting?
Kind of a protest against that,
sure.
You know, and the, you know, what's the problem with this?
Uh-huh.
But then I saw at the same time, going back to rock music or hip rock or whatever, hip rock.
Yeah.
But some of the really horrible, grotesque, pornographic, violent stuff that is communicated via that, and that's
rap.
Not canceled out.
Yeah, rap music is very...
It's intense. I don't listen to too much rap, but a little
rap,
bit. But they go into intense a little bit.
Yeah,
there's the element of the demonic, the pornographic, the violence, and
there's
violence against women.
Yes,
rape. They talk about it.
There is.
And that doesn't get canceled? I don't know. Anyway, thanks, Nick. Just a little clarification here. I don't know any of these people, so.
No, there's a lot of new groups or bands that I don't, I'm not aware of, but I see my nephews, they're in their 20s, early 20s, and so they do go to these concerts. And
I like to listen to, so Saturday morning, when I'm exercising, I listen to, it comes on at 7 a.m., it's the 889, I don't know the channel. Anyway, but they do, every Saturday they do a different year. So they might do the hits of 1965 or the hits of 1975. Or last week it was the hits of 1984, which is the year I was ordained a priest. And so I don't quite remember what the music at that time. But those, it's really, really nice. And to give a little backstory to some of the songs and some of the artists. But anyway, just going back, and we'll take a break. But
even country music has changed a little bit too, because again, like I said, they're mixing the different types of music. So they're mixing it with country music. They mix in a little bit of rock, or it's evolutionized. Okay. They're evolutionizing.
Yeah,
I
don't know. I just don't care so much for country music, but country, what do they call it? Country Western music or whatever.
Sure.
But there are certain artists that I like.
Yes.
I like
Shania Twain. Shania Twain, she's got a lot of nice songs.
Does she? Okay, yeah. Is she country?
She's country,
Okay.
And there's new artists that, you know, again, there's a mixture.
Yeah. Anyway, but going back, and we'll take a break, back to the concert in Portugal, I just thought,
the music is a little too harsh.
When allow these young people a radical experience away from
something
the stuff
different,
of the world.
Away from the world.
Yeah, immerse them in the mysticism of the church.
Yes.
You know, the mystical, and that can be done. And that's it, because, and this is something that our leadership has to acknowledge, and they refuse to acknowledge it.
They're trying to become like the world, like befriend the world, and it's
even the logos and all that are just—it's cartoonish. It's very cartoonish, and it's kind of insulting to all the logos and all the certainly in the last 10 years, all the logos for the different synods or the different congresses or this World Youth Day, or the Synod on Synodality—they're very cartoonish, extremely very cartoonish. And I just, you know, when you're thinking about the mysticism of the church, beautiful art. The Catholic Church has produced beautiful art and beautiful music, and this would be a wonderful opportunity to introduce these young people to the best that we have, which is radically different from what is out in the world. And so that's my opinion. And what confirms this, and I say this is what's not being acknowledged, is who's drawn to the extraordinary form, the traditional mass, even to our own, you know, the silence in the church, the confessions, receiving communion on the tongue, on your knees. It's the young
people.
It's the young people. People don't realize. I try to tell people, you know, you don't. Do you realize? Tuesday at the confession, I had an hour of confessions. They were all
young
people. You know, so.
You know, like on Sundays, Father, I like sitting in the front, for one, because I have to focus on the mass. I get easily distracted. If I sit in the back, forget it. So for myself, I need to sit in the front. And then I think to myself, you know, if in the concert, everyone wants to sit in the front, why wouldn't I want to sit in the front for Christ? You know, this is like the ultimate. And so, but what I love is, you know, when after I receive communion, I sit there and then I watch. I have to say, I do watch the people as they go up to communion. It's so
beautiful
to watch. And there's a lot of young people that I see, and how reverent they receive our Lord. It's beautiful.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, but the receiving at the altar rail is you can't help but be reverent.
Yes.
And what it does is it, and this is why I'm an absolute advocate of going back to reception of Holy Communion mm-hmm. at the altar rail, on the tongue. If you receive on the hand, I have no problem, just as long as it's received with reverence, the Holy Eucharist. But that gives you time, because you're there, you're not rushed. You have to reflect. You've got time to reflect, because you're kneeling, and you and the priest and the deacon are going up and down the altar rail. Yes. So you're not you're going to have to wait a little bit mm-hmm. to receive communion, and you're in the closest proximity you can come to the sanctuary, and so just even the beauty of the sanctuary. Yes. By the way, Father Mike Schmidt, who's very, very popular with the young people. I don't know if he's a speaker in Portugal. I would hope that he would be. Are you familiar with him?
No, I am not.
He's very, very popular. He's got I don't know how many followers, but for a number of years now, he's been very, very popular with the young people. But he's a strong advocate for ad orientem, the priest facing the east.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that, and I saw a video where he speaks about this. And again, this is the way the Mass was celebrated up until the Second Vatican Council. And the priest is, how is it explained to me? I don't know if he's the one who said this or somebody else explained it to me. I think they said he said it. When you're leading a pilgrimage, you're not facing the people, but you're leading the people in pilgrimage, mm-hmm. in procession. And the Holy Mass at the time of the consecration, when we're at the altar of the sacrifice, the priest is leading the people, because how do we, again, I repeat this all the time, but what is active participation in the Holy Mass? It's the offering of our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. And so that the priest is the priest in persona Christi is leading the people, the shepherd leading the flock onto the altar. We offer our lives on the altar. We renew our fiat, our covenant. We say yes, having just now heard the word of God, reminded of who we are, where we've come from, what's expected of us. We now renew our fiat, our covenant. We offer our lives in, with, for, and through Christ to the Father, and in that then we're able to receive communion. And so the altar rail becomes like the table of the banquet. I think we were just talking about this the other day.
Yes.
But he's a strong advocate of that. And there are many others that are as well. But it's just people are afraid of getting shut down or being canceled out if they...
That's a shame.
It's a strange time we're living in. But this tyranny of noise, which characterizes the world, ties right into what I've always said. When the Blessed Mother asked that we open the doors of the church, it was that the cacophony of the world, which means the rude noise of the world, not shout into silence the voice of the living God. If we can bring our young people to experience something radically different from what they're dealing with on a day-to-day mm-hmm. basis, then I think, the possibility for an inner conversion and a reawakening or an awakening, an appreciation for what uniquely is ours, and what we have to give to a world that is, again, supposed to be through technology and social media, so deeply connected, and yet the crisis of loneliness and isolation mm-hmm. is greater than it's ever been.
And it's so true, Father.
So we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
You are invited to attend the Father's Tom Art Show, inspiring faith in God through beauty with Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Coys. Sunday afternoon, August 13th from 2 until 4. You'll enjoy original art by both priest artists, Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Coys. Stroll through the different galleries featuring original art while also enjoying a light summer sangria wine and cheese buffet Learn how beauty can lead to a deeper longing for the divine artist. That's the Father's Tom Art Show with both artist priests, Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Coys. Sunday afternoon from 2 until 4, August 13th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 South Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. The Father's Tom Art Show is co-sponsored by Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church and the Sag Bridge Mission Society. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
You are invited to attend the Father's Tom Art Show, inspiring faith in God through beauty with Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Coys. Sunday afternoon, August 13th, from 2 until 4. You'll enjoy original art by both priest artists, Father Tom Loya and Father Tom Coys. Stroll through the different galleries featuring original art while also enjoying a light summer sangria wine and cheese buffet. Learn how beauty can lead to a deeper longing for the divine artist. Sunday afternoon from 2 until 4, August 13th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 South Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Co-sponsored by Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church and the Sag Bridge Mission Society. St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change here with Christina. Tony is having a wonderful time in California as they're celebrating their
wedding anniversary,
20-plus years, we think. We don't know, but I had their wedding, witnessed their wedding. So anyway, I want to kind of switch gears a little bit over here, but it's all related, I think. And this is kind of going back to the readings we had this past Sunday. From the Book of Kings and Paul's letter to the Romans and, of course, Jesus and the Gospel of Matthew, where he talks about the pearl that has no price. You know, over the years, and I think you're all going to resonate with this, but I've heard and listened to the cries of so many committed parents who wonder where they went wrong. I'm speaking about those who view their state of life or their vocation in life as a response to the call of God. And I have to say, you know, quite honestly, as a priest and a pastor, I too ask myself the same question. At times as a priest, as a pastor, I ask this question because things are so, as we, you know, radically different. Things are changing so fast. And anyway, on one hand, it's energizing and life-giving. A life-giving gift that God bestows on those willing to make the sacrifice to lay down one's life for love of God and in service to others. And that wouldn't be just parents and priests. It would be all devoted Christians, Catholics. On the other hand, it is a frightening challenge in view of our own limitations, our own imperfections, to bear, say, the happy burden of forming the lives of our children, our parishioners, to be God-fearing, to be God-loving, to be hard-working, to be honest, to be disciplined citizens of this world, while at the same time safeguarding their souls for the beatific vision in the next. In other words, we want to form saints. I don't know that we think that, but we should be doing that. We should be helping each other to be saints. But no matter how much preparation one receives, often we feel, you know, wholly inadequate to fulfill the, it's really an awesome responsibility when the formation of people's lives has been entrusted to our care. At the outset, and this is what we heard from on Sunday from King of Kings in the book, at the outset from the Hebrew scripture from the Old Testament, at the outset when God calls, as in the call of Solomon, it seems that he puts us to the test, whispering in our ears, and he did this to Solomon, ask something of me and I will give it to you. It's as if God wants to know the disposition of our hearts. So as people committed to God, we'd hope to make Solomon's words our own. Because what did Solomon say? Jesus says, ask something of me and I will give it to you. And Solomon said, give me, your servant, an understanding heart to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong. Now God was so pleased with his request, and as he said to Solomon, he says to you and me, if we ask the same thing, he says, because you've asked for this, not for a long life. You didn't ask for a long life for yourself. You could have asked for that. You didn't ask for riches. You could have asked for that. Nor for the life of your enemies. You could have asked for that. But rather you asked for an understanding so that you may know what is right. Therefore, I do as you requested. I give you a heart so wise and understanding that there's never been anyone like you up to now. So, and yet, you know, if we're sincere about who we are and we want to fulfill the will of God and be his emissaries, his disciples, be witnesses to others, inform people in a proper way, we ask, you know, where have we gone wrong? And this is the angst of so many people who have tried and continue to struggle to remain faithful to God's call to them. Many who again, view their lives as a sincere effort to keep God at the center, to build on the foundation of God's life, and daily entrust to the Lord those entrusted to them by the Lord. Their children, their students, their parishioners, neighbors, co-workers, I mean, really anybody we meet in the course of a day. Now we want to be, we want to give witness, you know, that there is a light in this darkness, that we are the salt of the earth, we are the leaven, that we leave people, you know, feeling that there's cause for hope, there's a way to go. You know, we're very fond of the parable of the lost sheep. Everybody, you know that one, how the Lord leaves 99 behind. 99 good sheep behind in search of the one who is lost. And when he finds it, he rejoices more over it than the 99 who did not go astray. Well, do you agree with me or not? At this juncture in history, it feels as though one sheep remains and 99 go astray. and our witness... And so really, really expectedly, we're overwhelmed. So what caused this? And what must we do? Have we failed in our witness to the kingdom of heaven, which the Lord in the gospel last Sunday likened to a treasure buried in the field, which a person finds and out of joy sells all that he has, buys the field in order to secure for himself the hidden treasure. That's the hope for these young people, if they haven't found it, that they find it in this Youth Day, with the World Youth Day in Portugal. And of course, the answer to these questions and others are multifaceted, and I'm not going to speculate right now. We do this all the time anyway. Speculate on what's going wrong, what's gone awry, and what must we do. But truly, today we seem ineffective at conveying the great goodness of God and of His kingdom. But remember, you know, Jesus too, even after all the good he did, the miracles he performed, the words he spoke, he felt quite alone. He's very vocal about that. He suffered a heavy heart. He's vocal about that. And he was so full of anguish that he sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And, of course, suffice to say, he was abandoned, he was denied, he was betrayed. He was crucified for our sake and for our salvation. Only his mother, the beloved John, and a few others entered into his suffering while the multitude stood by. And think about it, much like today, the multitude stand by and they watch, they mock, they blaspheme, they spit on him, or they try to recreate God in their own image and likeness, rewrite the laws of God to placate or accommodate their own inclinations contrary to the gospel message. I think we need to approach the current crisis in the society and in the church. And we've got to admit that there's a crisis. And I have another article here, and maybe we'll bring this up tomorrow. But because there are many who would try to say, no, there's no crisis. Really, there's no crisis. But, I mean, my gosh, everybody with a brain, anybody with open eyes, anybody who knows, loves, and tries to serve Christ, they know we're in a crisis. We really are like foreigners in a strange land. And so let's not play a game or be Pollyannish about the reality. We're living we're passing to a real diabolical disorientation. And I hope that the speakers at the World Youth Day speak about that reality, because young people intuitively kind of know it, I think, you know, or they've got to be awakened to who God is and who they are and what's expected of them. Yes, so we have to approach this current crisis consoled by the words of sacred scripture that we make up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. I think I said, or I might have said just previously, that, you know, in view of our limitations, our imperfections, our rough edges, yet the fact that we want to give our lives, we've given our lives to Christ, we want to be his emissaries, his disciples, we want to properly form the people God has entrusted to our care, or the people we meet on a day-to-day basis to be an authentic witness. In spite of us, the Lord makes up for what is lacking in us if we're sincere and have surrendered our lives to the Lord. But yet Scripture says that also we make up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Try to understand this, because there was nothing lacking in the redemption wrought through the shedding of his precious blood. But the Lord ordained that we would participate in his salvific work. So just as the holy sacrifice of the Mass is a perpetuation of the messianic hour, that's the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and our being renewed as we are mystically washed in his precious blood. I would hope that they would speak those words to the young people in Portugal. Because, I mean, ask really, where do you hear about this?
You really don't hear about this.
You don't hear about it. And yet that's what the essence of the Mass is, the Holy Sacrifice. And from the Holy Sacrifice, we have communion. And so what's happened is the shift has gone away from the sacrifice mm-hmm. to the supper. And the body of Christ is it's the people of God, but it's almost as if we've diminished what is central to worship, and that is the perpetuation of the messianic hour, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and we stand before that sacrifice at the Mass to offer our lives in union again, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Our spiritual worship through Jesus to the Father, and we're mystically washed in his precious blood. And so too, our faith, our keeping faith and assisting in the right worship of God is a work. It's a liturgy means work. The liturgy of the Eucharist is a work, the work of the Eucharist, the work of the Holy Mass, the sacred liturgy, the sacred work. Assisting in the right worship of God is a work we do not only for our salvation and our sanctification, but for that of others as well, those we love and those who have abandoned us. You know, so it's when we come to Mass, we enter into that sacrifice. We offer our lives, and in offering our lives, we offer those who we carry in our hearts. So, you know, where did I go wrong? You know, what with parents, you know, my children are out and about. They're gone down a bad way. You know, they want nothing to do with God, with the church. They're indifferent, or they're hostile, or they make fun of. How many parents do they make? They make fun of my faith. Well, you understand that, you know, God knows the suffering hearts of His people. And I go back to that quote of St. Benedict, that or Pope Benedict, who I consider a saint.
Me too.
That the false gods, mm-hmm. the false deities will be unmasked through the suffering faith of humble believers. And again, I think this is something that young people need to hear, right? That you're going to, as Jesus said, I can't promise you happiness in this life. You're going to have trouble, but have courage and be at peace. I've conquered the world, but you got to stay with me. And prepare for persecution, and prepare to be rejected, to be hated on account of my name. This is a language we don't speak about. We don't want to hear. We don't want to communicate that to the people. We want to just kind of, we're going to have, you know, this, it's almost pure humanism. Fraternity is fine. We want to be fraternal, and we want to be in dialogue, and we want to be inclusive, but not everybody's included if they choose not to embrace what the Lord has handed down to us. They exclude themselves. Jesus came to include everybody, mm-hmm. but His love requires a response in love, and that you, as He's very clear about it, you know, mm-hmm. these commandments are binding on all sure. people for all time, right?
And love, true love is sacrificial.
Sacrificial. It's sacrificial. Life isn't a party.
No.
You know, I say that the Mass isn't a pachanga, right? Because a pachanga would be like party
La
in Spanish,
party,
right?
Yeah, la fiesta.
And life is not a pachanga. No. Life is not a party. Life is work. Life is pick up your cross and follow me. And yes, we, you know, having Christ abide within us, we have the source of our peace and our joy and our strength. And, you know, but if you're going to walk the way of the Lord, it's a lonely walk, but we make that walk in solitude so we can be in the midst of a crowd or that's why, you know, in the midst of these like concerts, mm-hmm. a big rock concert, you know, one can feel very much like, you know, I need the quiet of the desert, as Jesus would go into the desert to the top of the mountain. To a lonely place to commune with the Father. But just by way of wrap-up, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, but his resurrection accompanied by his summons to fear not, be at peace, are sufficient to see us through as we carry in our suffering hearts those to whom we've given our lives, those entrusted to us by the Lord. Our sense of failure, because we're no longer in Christendom. I'm reading this book, Christendom, from Christendom to Apostolic Mission. The world has radically changed, and so we have to re-identify who we are and identify again who God is and who we are in relation to God. But our sense of failure at the disregard others have for God, a disregard for the faith of our ancestors, is disheartening, no doubt, but the resurrection is our hope, and we need only continue loving God, and all will end well. As St. Paul said in his reading on Sunday, we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. So with that, I bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide the wind.